nobody taking up my time. I'm not worried. God has commissioned me to live. Amen. I'm so glad to be tired. Amen. She's the shepherd of this flock. Church, my friend, my pastor too.
Hallelujah!
I want to say right here to the angel of this house, thank you so much for inviting us. I am humbled beyond belief that Jesus has got anybody but you. I'm glad you got me.
Tonight, and
we go way back. And we're here to do what God has commissioned us to do. And for the time that is ours, if you return to the book of Job, we got anybody suffering tonight. Amen. You know, there's so many ways to suffer. You got silent sufferers. They don't say nothing. They just sit there. Sometimes they just rock back and forth. Oh, somebody. And then you got those noise, that type of stuff. They ain't no shame in that.
Have experienced
a nightmare.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
For some of us, nightmares reoccur. And they terrify us and trouble us while we sleep. The best thing about a nightmare is that you can wake up. Come on down.
All right.
Yeah, the best thing about a nightmare is that you can wake up and you just say, oh shoot, that was just a dream. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life I can remember having nightmares as a child and falling off a cliff. I can remember I liked to play with the car, and my mom and dad would say, don't get in that car, and I would get in there anyway and play with the steering wheel. And my nightmare was we would go visit our cousin, and they lived up on a hill, and we would just drive up there, and they would leave the car perched on the hill. And my nightmare was I would get in there and play all that old, and I would knock it out of gear, and it would be rolling back. And I'm in there, can't get out. Rolling down into a busy street. Come on, somebody. I don't know what your nightmare was or what your nightmare is, but nightmares terrify us. And that's where we see Brother Job. All of us, for the most part, is familiar with a man called Job. So I want to introduce to some and present to others Job. Somebody say Job.
Job.
What you must need to know is that Job was a family man. And before I get into my own thing, I do want to give you a subject. And my subject is this. When will the nightmare end?
All right. All right.
Somebody say, when will the nightmare end?
When will the nightmare end?
I don't know if you ever have experienced a nightmare, but some of us experience nightmarish situations in broad daylight. Come on now.
All right.
Some of you right now might be experiencing a nightmarish type of situation. And if you haven't, you just wait a while. I can remember getting news that mama was gone. And I'm going to tell you the truth. It felt just like a dream. If somebody could come and only shake me, come on somebody. My question is, have you ever had or been in a nightmarish type of situation?
Amen.
Wanted somebody to come and wake you up. Brother Job finds himself. Brother Job finds himself in a nightmarish situation. What you must need to know is, first of all, Job was a family man. The Bible says that he had 10 children. 7 sons and 3 daughters. Job was not only a family man, but he was a man of integrity, because the Bible says at that particular time, men were marrying many wives. But Job only had one wife. Somebody say, one man.
One man.
And one woman. Mixed up for marriage.
Amen.
Job was a man of means also. The Bible says that he had 5,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 she-asses, and 500 donkeys. He had a host of servants, and no doubt he had maids too. But the Bible says in one day, somebody say one day.
One day.
One day, Brother Job lost it all.
Amen. Amen.
Can you imagine losing everything in one day?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but he done lost. Now his children were gone. His camels were gone. The Bible says that in one day, Brother Job lost everything he had. No doubt his relationship with his wife was gone. Anybody in a relationship know when your money get a little funny? was right there.
Great cow.
I got to move on from that. His relationship with his friends were gone.
Oh, yeah.
Ever fast, so far. You know them three friends, sometimes when you go to console somebody, you need to keep your mouth shut.
Praise.
But trouble has a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
will follow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So why do the righteous suffer? Brother Job didn't know why, but unbeknown to Brother Job, a conversation ensued. Come on, somebody. I need some Bible reading right here. Bible said that one day the sons of God presented themselves before God. And God, the Bible said that Satan showed up. You know, Satan will show up in the most familiar place. I know you ain't got him on the beat, but Satan will come to church. My question to you is, does Job myself. Just because I don't cry, just because I don't complain, don't mean that I ain't going through some stuff. I got to hurry to my point. I just want to stay right here before I get to my point. Did you know that Job could have expedited his suffering? But the reason he did not expedite his suffering, in other words, he did not have to suffer as long as he did. What he did, he listened to his friend Eliphaz. And Eliphaz said some things for him to try to justify himself. Whenever you try to justify yourself, you're going to continue to stand in the mess you are in. Somebody stop justifying yourself. Yeah, if you read the Bible, it doesn't say that y'all sin and come short of the gospel and glory of God. It said that all sin. Somebody read that wrong, Pastor. It said y'all sin and come short of the glory of God. But everybody has come short of the glory of God. Lord have mercy. The Bible will come when we learn how to suffer. Somebody say learn. You got to learn how to suffer. What I want to teach you tonight before I take my seat is that I'm just going to give you 3 points. I had 4, but I didn't took my time up. Suffering is, first of all, redemptive. Yeah, you need to write this down. Suffering is redemptive. Then I'm going to talk about suffering being educative. Educative. And then lastly, suffering is purgative. Somebody say purgative.
Purgative.
What you must understand is there is a belief system. Now I'm talking to the ones who have ascribed to theodicy. Anybody that knows the word theodicy or natural theology puts the blame on God. They say if God was as holy as we say he is, if God knew everything like we know he knows everything, then why would he let righteous folk suffer? Somebody say theodicy.
Theodicy
puts the blame on God and say that just doesn't make sense. But what they don't give an account, Pastor, is that God has a permissive will.
All right.
Oh, don't let me lose you. I said God has a permissive will. He doesn't agree with everything that's going on in the world, but he allows it. I'm getting close to somebody right now. You've been going through, you've been suffering, and you know, I can let you know, it ain't nothing that you've done.
All right.
You know, most of us want to believe that we're suffering because of something that we did. Now, I must admit, for some of us, we just living on harvest that we planted last year. For some of us, we just reaping now what we sowed when we were in our youth. Come on, somebody. But for some of us, we ain't done nothing wrong. But we find ourselves suffering anyway. And I'm trying to let you know that suffering is redemptive. How do I know that suffering is redemptive? All I have to do is look toward Calvary.
All right.
And I look toward Calvary, in my sanctified imagination, I see Jesus hanging on the cross.
Yeah.
Not just hanging on a cross, but Jesus is suffering. Somebody say suffering. Bleeding from his hands. Bleeding from his side. Bleeding from his feet. Somebody say suffering. And I see the Lord Jesus suffering, that lets me know that suffering is redemption. The good news is that after redemption comes resurrection.
All right.
I'm talking to somebody now. Through your suffering, for some of y'all, some stuff died. Some of y'all done suffered for so long, your joy is dead. Yeah, I know your joy is dead. You just ain't buried it yet. Because suffering will teach you some stuff that you didn't even know about your own self. Have I got a witness?
Yes.
Suffering will teach you some stuff that you didn't know about God.
Yes.
Have I got a witness?
Yes.
I said it's evident because it will teach you some things about God that you have heard other folk talk about God. Lord, have mercy. But when you experience it, until I discovered that after a year and a for you. You know, we got mamas praying for sons. Oh, we got grandmamas praying for the family. But when praying won't get it out of you. God said, let me out of it. That ought not to be out of you. Okay. Yeah. God said, I know how to do it. I'm gonna lay you flat on your back.
Yeah.
You're gonna be laying flat on your back, looking up at the ceiling.
Yeah.
Ain't got nobody to talk to. You know, in this busy walking life, you're going to and fro, but every now and then, God will say, hush, and be still, and know that I am God. What we got to do is learn how to suffer. Somebody say, here it comes right here. You got to pray for a provision of patience. Notice I didn't say pray for patience. Some of us said, Lord, teach me how to wait. We sing songs like that. We ask God to give us more patience, but I checked the Bible that I read, and the only way that you can get patience is through tribulation. In other words, when we ask God to give us patience, you're saying, God, send me some trouble. We don't have to pray for stuff that we're going to get anyway. I'm saying you missed that. He's going to send our way anyway. We pray sometimes amiss. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And then when we do ask, we ask amiss. Or somebody say outside of the will of God. All the promises of God is right here in the Bible. He then already said what he's going to do. When we ask outside of that will, he's not going to do it.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Yeah, you got to ask the will of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Somebody say provision.
Provision.
We got to pray for a provision of patience, not patience. A provision of patience is to take the lesson of Job.
Right.
Notice that Job waited on the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Waited on the Lord. In other words, the only way for us to develop patience is we got to wait. We got to wait. And we got to wait. And after we get through waiting, Pastor, we got to keep right on waiting. We don't like the wait. We don't like to wait in line at the grocery store. They got the one teller here. All these people. If you ever said that, if you ever thought that, get ready for some trouble because God will teach you how to wait. You ever been stuck in traffic? You ever been stuck in traffic and just lay on your horn? And if that's going to magically rebuild up? Up there holding up traffic. That's been you, Dr. Robin, to tell you that he's going to teach you some things. your way.
Teaching you how to wait.
The first thing you do while you're waiting is stop complaining.
Amen.
Your belly aching. God hates complaining. Hate is a strong word. He hates it when you're complaining to him because you're saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. If God is in control of everything and he makes it rain on the just as well as the unjust, what you're going through, he already knows about it. If you are suffering, he knows about it because he allowed it to happen to you. And when you complain to God, what you're doing is saying, hurry up, God, you don't know what you're doing. Somebody say, trust. Trust says, I don't understand what you're doing right now, but I don't have to understand.
Amen.
Because I trust you.
Yeah.
Look at somebody and say, you got to trust God. We did this.
I just want to share this with you. Sometimes what we do is when in our prayers we pray to God. We're too specific in our prayer. God, and notice this. Stop hanging around. See, I don't know where they got this, Pastor, but they said that the darkest hour is right before dawn. I Googled that. And there's nothing to substantiate that. I look hard. And everywhere I saw that when it's dark, it's just dark. There aren't degrees of darkness. When it gets dark, it's just dark. What it alludes to is the fact that the last moments of darkness, when you have been in darkness, when you have been sick for a long time, when you've been waiting on God for a long time, that last little hour seemed the longest.
Uh-huh. I believe it. Yes.
That's why they said the darkest hour is right before dawn, because right before dawn, you've been waiting all night.
Yeah.
Don't let it lose you. You've been waiting all night, so that seems like the darkest time, but if the truth be known, it's not. Dark is just dark.
Amen.
Metaphorically, what this means is if you suffer right, sometimes I say suffer right. No complaining. Stop complaining about it. Stop complaining to God about it. In other words, you've been telling God about your problem. You need to tell your problem about your God. You see how you got quiet over there? You know, some people ain't gonna change the way they pray. Yeah. If you got cancer, you got to tell cancer, be gone, cancer. You know, evilness and sickness is a spirit. There are good spirits and evil spirits in the church. And we got to understand that in order for us to suffer right, we can't complain to God. What we have to do is to hold on a little while longer. In other words, we got people who know that the dawn is coming, but we got dawn dashers. That's what I call them. Dawn dashers. They dash your hopes of dawn. So you got to be careful while you're suffering. You got to be careful not only who you hang around, but who's hanging around you. Oh, this is good stuff here. You know, some folk you can't get rid of. You didn't go to them. They just come to you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you got to not hang around dawn dashers. I'm preaching that to the one who you ain't walked down the aisle yet. You ain't said I do yet. Y'all are still dating, and he looks like Marvin Sett's nut. Or at least in your eyes. She looks like Beyonce. I don't care if they look like Beyonce or Morris Chestnut. You need to ask the question, is this a dawn dasher? In other words, negativity will prolong, or it seemably prolong your suffering. Don't
don't hang around Dawn Dashers.
Amen.
And when Dawn Dashers come around you, you need to move.
Amen.
We got Dawn Dashers at the church, Pastor.
Yep.
Look down your row. I guarantee you just saw a Dawn Dasher.
that died while you were suffering, God will miraculously bring it back to life. I'm talking to somebody now in your marriage. Yeah, look at Brother Joe. Brother Joe's wife turned on him. He said, you've been suffering all this time, and you still believe your God? You are a curse. Your God and die. You know, bad advice will come from anywhere. Bad advice will come from your own family. Come on, somebody. You are a kid to the curb. Yeah, when you kick it to the curb, you're going to be the one by yourself. I know Joe thought she was a hellhound, but if you hang on in there while you suffer, if you suffer right, the Bible says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and he will establish your laws. For somebody that's married now, and the love is gone. I'm going to say it again. Somebody that's married, you know, everybody married ain't happy.
Time to tell you about that. You got to hang that for free.